Glad that you are here this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad and write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us any contact information you choose. That would be very helpful for us. Then once you're done, send it down so everybody on your pew has a chance to fill that out. And we do ask, once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used this morning, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. I invite you to look at the upcoming events and opportunities for the week that are listed there in your bulletin. A few things that draw your attention to. We are continuing with preschool day camp this week. Also, the 1,000 Gifts Bible Study continues to meet. We'll be having our church conference, our quarterly church conference, this Wednesday at 6:30. So there will be no fielder's choice this week, but we do hope you choose to be a part of the church conference. Other things are listed there as well. Reminder, elementary day camp will be starting a week from tomorrow. This is your last week to register. We invite not only people who attend here at College Park, but friends, neighbors. We invite you to invite them to be a part. All the details are available on the children's website. You can even register right there online. Let's see. Other things are listed there, but just want to draw attention to those couple of things. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're blessed by your presence today, and we're thankful that you decided to join us for worship today. If you are a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will recognize you. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you about all the things that are happening in our congregation. Also, a little bit of the story and the history of College Park. So, thank you for being a part of worship today. I want to say a big thank you to all those who prayed for us as we are at youth camp this week. It was a really good week. It challenged us in many, many different ways, many unexpected ways. God pushed us. We studied the story of Samson. Not just Samson and Delilah and when he brought down the temple, but his entire story. I encourage you, that is not a story that everybody is ready for, or you remember from. You don't teach these things in VBS. It was a powerful story of how a person who had been given everything by God and misused it and denied who God was in his life. I was reminded this week of all the ways I have been blessed and how often I choose to deny seeing God as the source of my strength. In our life choices, we do that, don't we? How often do we deny that God is the source of our strength? He is the source of all things. Doesn't he deserve our worship? Doesn't he deserve our thanks? Doesn't he deserve our song, our prayer? Every ounce of energy that we have should be given back to him, because without him, we are nothing. That was what we learned at youth camp this week. And I pray today that we would be reminded, today is a gift. This breath is a gift. May we use this gift to bring him glory. Let's prepare for worship.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Father, when we call on the name of Christ and we see him for who he is, how quickly do we see ourselves for the sinners that we are? For in comparison to Christ, we are nothing. He is everything. He is holy. He is perfect. He is Lord and he is Savior. So often we want to do things our own way and think we've done things in our own strength, with our own money, our own time, our own resources, when every penny, every second, every gift comes straight from your throne of grace. So be in this place, we pray. Hear us as we worship you, as we thank you for the forgiveness that we have received in Christ, because we could not have done it on our own. Thank you for being in this place. We need to be near you. We need to hear from you. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Happy to be here today? Well, I'm happy to be here with you. I want you to think about something. Think about what you did this morning to get ready to come to church. Think about it. I'm going to ask you a question by raising your hand. Come on now. By raising your hand, I want you to answer these questions. Who here brushed your teeth this morning before they came to church? Hey, you better raise your hand. Who here brushed their hair this morning? Some people picked out their best clothes and put them on to come to church. Well, Now think about it. Think about what you did and ask yourself, if you did all that, you got ready, put on your good clothes, brush your hair, and then you didn't even come to church. I mean, Okay, that wasn't in my notes. What's most important? Is it getting ready and looking perfect and doing all the work, or is it important to come to church? Which one's more important? Exactly, coming to church. That reminds me of a story in the book of Luke, Mary and Martha. Jesus visited Mary and Martha, and when he came, Martha ran around and cleaned and cooked dinner and did all the work, and Mary sat down and listened to Jesus teach. Well, this made Martha very mad. She wondered why she was doing all the work, and Mary was just sitting around listening to Jesus talk. Well, Jesus basically told Martha that Mary picked what was most important, listening to Jesus. So what we need to remember is it's like inviting Jesus to your house and not listening to him teach you and talk to you. It's just like getting ready to go to church, doing all the work, but not actually going. So we need to remember to make Jesus the most important part of our life. And let's pray. Jesus, please help us remember to make you the most important thing, most important aspect in our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The adults get just as much out of that as the children do. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. And I'll be sharing with you from God's Word, Colossians, verse 15 through 29. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and ages, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me. May God add his blessing to his word.
Thank you. us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
You bow your head. I will be reading from Psalm 95, 6 and 7. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day, a day to gather and worship You. This is a beautiful Sunday morning. And as we look outside, we see the beauty that You have created. We acknowledge that You are God Almighty, creator of all things. Lord, we're thankful for this church and what it means to each one of us. Within these walls, we find love. We find support. We find friendship. We find peace and comfort. This church means many things to many people. And again, we thank you for this church. Lord, we want to take this time to remember those who are sick, those who are experiencing loss, those with problems at home or problems at work, those that are away from our families or their families. Lord, we lift these needs up to you, and we ask you to bless and comfort them and their family. We continue to pray for our military men and women, both home and abroad. I pray for their safety and protection while away from their families. As we continue the worship, I pray that each one here will open their mind and their heart to what is said this morning, that when we go our separate ways, that we might position ourselves to reflect your light and your love. As we prepare to take this offering, bless both the gift and the giver. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
We are back in our lectionary readings, and we're back on track. I think we're in the right week this week, but we're going to tackle a story that is a very familiar story. No doubt you have heard it. You heard it right down here just a few minutes ago, if not before. And again, it's one of those that we've heard over and over and over again, but we're going to tackle it probably just a little bit different angle this morning. It's the story of Mary and Martha. And typically when you say the story of Mary and Martha, everybody kind of knows where that passage is. And in Luke chapter 10, here's Luke's account of it. It begins in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I've been busy, 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 busy. How many of you have ever said that? I've been busy. That's one of our favorite self-descriptions, and we wear it, interestingly enough, like a red badge of courage, don't we? Someone asks you, "How have you been? What have you been up to?" "Oh, I've just been busy. I've been busy, been running here, been there." And we like to stress our high activity level, don't we? And it kind of is a reflection. It typifies kind of the whole American culture, which has always emphasized initiative, right? Be self-starter. You know, work hard. Get it done. In rural America, get her done. So, you know, translation, we work hard in America and we take great pride in that, right? You know, we pastors are not exempt from this trend. Search committees are not terribly interested in a pastor's Christology or even their devotional life. Committee members are focused like a laser beam on church growth, community involvement, our ability to connect with young people. So churches want their pastors to be, wait for it, busy. Yes, yes, they do. They want them to be busy. And of course, you take that mantle upon yourselves as well as church members. We applaud those who wear several hats. That's the phrase we use. Well, they're wearing several hats. They're a key committee member. They're teaching Sunday school. They're cooking Wednesday night suppers. They're also having to leave early from Wednesday night to get to choir practice because they sing in the choir too. And we applaud that and say, what good church member. And they are. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Good church members. And at home, we do kind of the same thing, don't we? How many parents set the alarm for 5:30, start breakfast, wake up the kids, get them dressed, send them off to the bus stop, dash to work, and after school, drive the kids to soccer practice, football practice, whatever, then grab a few burger combo meals in the drive-thru? And at the end of the day, you lay down and you're exhausted and in your bed and you're thinking, I wish I had time just to write that letter. I've been starting in my mind at least. I wish that I had time just to call my parents. I wish I had time just to sit down with my kids or my grandkids and just watch them and just take it all in to be there. But we quickly defend ourselves as, well, I've just been so busy. Haven't had time for that. Martha was busy too. Martha was sweeping the floor. She was baking bread. Martha was busy setting the table. And when Jesus knocked at the door, she goes over, ushers him to a seat, probably went to get him something to drink, and then hurried back out to check on the meal. She's busy. And then she noticed that her sister Mary had the gall, had the nerve to be out there just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. How ridiculous, how blasphemous. We'll get to that part in just a minute. And here she was, frantically managing this three-ring circus in the kitchen, and Mary's just sitting there. She marched out to the living room and she complained, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me all of the work to do myself? Tell her to get off her rear end and come help me." I put that part in. That's not in scripture. "Tell her to get up and come help me." And Jesus, to her chagrin, didn't back her up on that deal. He surprised her by saying, "Martha, Martha, 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 Martha." There's only two recorded, but I'm hearing the others. "Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." So what had she chosen? We'll get to that. This is a familiar story. We've heard it over and over again. And the point, one of the points I think that's critical here is Jesus is not just telling Martha to take a break. That's not what's going on here. Note that Mary wasn't over there stretched out on the couch asleep. Okay, that's not what was going on. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that in and of itself presents an interesting dilemma, culturally, a very interesting dilemma. We'll get to that in just a minute. But hear this saying from the first century, this teaching from a rabbi, Jewish rabbis in the first century. They taught, quote, "It is more profitable to teach your dog the scripture than your wife." Religious discrimination against women was alive and well in the days of Jesus. In fact, the teachings of the rabbi ensured second-class status for women. So women's behavior was extremely limited in ancient times. Here's some more examples. Unmarried women were not allowed to leave the home of their father without permission. Well, now, if you have older teenage girls, that's not a bad rule, okay? I can probably excuse that one, all right? Just kidding, baby. Married women were not allowed to leave the home of their husband without permission. Women were normally restricted to roles of little or no authority and certainly none over men. Women could not testify in court because their word was considered untrustworthy. Women could not appear in public venues. They were not allowed to talk to strangers. They had to be doubly veiled when they left their homes. And hear this one. Sitting at a rabbi's feet meant that you were receiving formal training with him. That was a big no-no. And when Mary sat at Jesus' feet with the other disciples, it was considered blasphemous for Jesus to have taught her in that way because he, in effect, was elevating her to the level of a man, of a disciple that was worthy to be taught. There's a lot going on here in this story. Interestingly enough, you say, well, you know, that attitude, thank goodness we're past that. Are we really? Churches all across America today where women, it's okay for them to be a part of WMU and learn about missions, but heaven forbid, Mary, they be on staff. Yeah. All around the world this morning, millions of Jewish men, if they said the traditional Jewish prayer for the man in the morning, would have said this: Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, for not having made me a Gentile. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, for not having made me a slave. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, for not having made me a woman. So if you look at all of that and consider the context, Martha's actions really are kind of appropriate for her day and time, given the accepted role of women. You almost can't blame her if you see it in her eyes, in the eyes of that time. You say, well, I'm glad we're past all of that. It hadn't been that long ago that in America, if a woman wanted a career, it had to be what? Teaching, yeah. They could teach, they could nurse, yeah, be a nurse. What else? Secretary. Those type of things were considered okay. But you can have those careers only up to the point where you're married. And at that point, you need to be a good wife and a good mother. Quit that other nonsense and get busy. Unless there was a poverty situation. Now, I'm telling you culturally where we've been. Understand all of this background. In the first century, it was much, 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 much worse for women. So you say, okay, Raymond, where are you going? What's the real point of the story then? Well, I think there's several points, but I believe that Jesus is telling us without a doubt that the core of our existence is our life with Him. Our life with Him. The Christian life is an active life, granted. It's an active life. It's a life of worship. It's a life of service. It's a life of telling the story of God's redeeming love. But the mainstream, the mainspring of all of that is Jesus. That's the main point. And we can't afford to miss that. Don't miss that in this story. Jesus saying it's about your relationship with me. At the center of our faith should be our conviction that Jesus, who was crucified, is not a dead martyr. He is a living, teaching Savior. Death could not hold him, pure and simple. He rose. He reigns as the head of the church. And the church is his body. The church is the part that gets it done in our culture. And Jesus is present with us today in all of our busyness, at our work, at our home, at play, at the mall. You know, he's as close to us as air we breathe. So the Christian life is a life that is lived in the companionship of Christ. Henry Scougal was a devoted young theologian who taught at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. He died back in 1678 at the tender age of 28. But he wrote an influential little book called The Life of God in the Soul of Man. It's a small read, pretty deep stuff, but it is fantastic stuff. The Life of God in the Soul of Man. George Whitefield, who was one of the leading evangelists of the Great Awakening, passed on a copy of this book to a fellow named Charles Wesley. If you don't know who Charles Wesley is, Google Methodist, okay? His name will pop up a lot, all right? And he passed on a copy of this book to him in Oxford. And the story goes that this book was a major contributor to Charles Wesley coming to know Christ. And you say, well, why is it important for our discussion this morning? Well, in this little book, Henry Scougal laments the fact that so many people have missed the point of understanding what true Christianity is. He writes that some think Christianity is mainly orthodox notions. They imagine that all God wants from us is to have the correct mental understanding of Christianity. He also says that others think it's a matter of external duty. If you just obey the law of the Bible, keep busy doing the right things, everything will work out all right. He writes that still others believe that real Christianity is having the right affections, the right feelings toward God. And then he argues that each of these misses the point, and that the essence of Christianity lies not in the realm of thought or performance or feelings. Rather, Christianity, real Christianity, is a union of our soul with God. It's a union. The Apostle Paul describes it perfectly in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, when he describes it as Christ formed in us. Christ formed in us. And I believe that Mary understood this. I believe she got it. I believe she understood that the most important thing was her relationship with Jesus. Her life with Jesus was more important than her life of service. Now, immediately say, well, does that minimize Christian action? No, it does not. Hardly. What it does is it rivets our attention on the fact that the outward journey is rooted in and sustained by the inward journey. The outward journey, our outward acts of service are rooted in our inward journey. Like we talked about last week, our life with Christ is the basis for our life with others. That's how God meant it to be. The life of God in the human soul. That's the Christian life. That's what he desires for us. And Jesus makes this point in John chapter 15 when he talks about the fact that he is the vine and that we are the branches. And then he goes on and says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do no thing. Your life in Christ is more than just having daily devotions. Your life in Christ is more than just checking in with God occasionally. It's a matter of moment by moment living our lives out of who we are in Christ. Christ formed in us. James Torrance is a beloved Scottish theologian professor, and he emblazed on his students' hearts and minds this central New Testament insight. And he's famous for quoting Galatians 2:20, which for you electricians or physicists in the crowd, I like to call 2:20 power. I mean, it really is. 2:20 power in the New Testament. Here it is. Listen to this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but who? It's Christ who lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. That's the point. That's the essence of the Christian life. I believe Mary understood that. I believe she got that. If you read on, I think by John chapter 12, if you read kind of between the lines, we'll check on it when we get to heaven. But I think Martha got that too. She came around to that too. She began to figure it out. Our job is before God this morning to allow him to help us figure that out. It's no longer about me. It's Christ who lives in me. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we do ask for your help because we understand, at least with our head, that it's not about us. It's about who you are in us. It's about who we are as we reflect your glory. It's about who we are as we serve you and become the hands and feet of Christ. And Father, we pray that you would transform our hearts, you would transform our minds so that we can accurately reflect who you are to those that we come in contact with this week. God, give us your strength. God, give us your courage. God, give us your wisdom. God, give us your peace and comfort as we seek to love others as you loved us. As we seek to love others as you love them also. Help us never to forget the sacrifice that love brought about. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you're not a believer, if you say, Raymond, I don't have a relationship with Jesus like you're describing, I'll be glad to talk with you. We're going to sing in just a moment. I'll talk with you here and pray with you here, or feel free to call me this week. I'll come to where you are and we'll talk about it. If you're here and you say, well, I have a relationship with Christ, but I'm not living that kind. I'm really not where you described this morning. You know, all of us are trying to get there. Understand, we're all in this together. All of us are trying. With God's help, we're getting there together. I'll be glad to talk with you, offer encouragement, pray with you. You certainly can settle that with God and ask for his help and guidance where you are. If you're here and you'd say, I'd like to be a part of this church, we welcome members by many different ways. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. But take this moment as you're singing to really just be serious with God. He knows who you are. You know, be honest with him about it. And let him touch you at your point of hurt, at your touch, where you need to be healed. Let him do some work in you as we stand and sing together now. Following our benediction response, please greet one another, encourage one another. As we go out from here, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. What a blessing it is to be in your house, worshiping you, fellowshipping with one another. Father, as we go from this place, we pray that we would lean upon you, that we would feel your presence and be obedient to your biddings. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.